I'd like to greet each one this morning again in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here to hear the word of the Lord in the Sunday school lesson. We're thankful for the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, and we trust that God's Spirit has been working in our midst through various efforts, through your prayers, through the sharing of the word, and we continue to desire to look into the word of God. I've been here for about 4 days, and it finally dawned on me this morning that there's a whiteboard here. I presume there's equipment here. This here will work, will it? Okay. I might just take advantage of that here this morning. I'd like to share with you a message on the home this morning. And the idea is to what we can do as parents to develop character, godly character in our children. You know, I've been sharing messages on the home for, well, almost 30 years. And in my personal journey, there was a time when I was the young pastor with lots of ideals and all kinds of solutions. And then the Lord takes us to the journey of raising teenagers and all of that. And we begin to wonder if we've fulfilled even half of what we were preaching about. And now I find myself in the perspective of being a grandparent. And it's a blessing. Have we done everything we could have and we should have? No, we certainly haven't. But to faithfully toil as by God's grace as a parent and see some of the results in the children, and I'm not meaning to gloat or glorify at all. It's we recognize that it's a work beyond ourselves. We as parents certainly have a large impact, but it's the work of God. And yes, even the work of those that are around us. At least about boys, there's a saying out there that says it takes community to raise a boy. I'm not sure about girls, probably a little the same way, but and there's some real value to that. You know, fathers exert and parents exert so much influence on it, but we need the help of others, and we mostly need the help of God, and we thank God for that. I personally do for how God has led despite our failures and our mistakes. So this morning I do want to share this message you with joy and hopefully with hope that we can instill in your hearts. I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 18, maybe primarily as an inspirational thought as we think of the home and how God looks at parenting. This is an interesting chapter, maybe further to your study, Brother Dale, on the Trinity. Think about this passage here. And there's some intrigue to this story here. We're not going to read the entire chapter by any means, but notice how God works. We'll point out verse 1. It says, and this is talking about Abraham, when it says him, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, "My Lord." Now, that word Lord in verse 1 is Yahweh. And so God himself was making a revelation to Abraham. And it appears it's in the form of three persons and three men. There might be some dispute and discussion as to who was all involved. But notice that whenever someone is speaking, it's always in the singular. It says, "And the Lord, Yahweh says to him." And Abraham, being a dedicated servant of God, receives this special delegation from God himself, and they have a message for him. First of all, they have a message about his family. In verse 9, it says, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were well old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.'" If Abraham, I think there's some reason to believe he may have had some insight here that these were special guests. Maybe his response probably was some typical Oriental hospitality and how he treated them. But if there was any question, I think in Abraham's mind he was already understanding these are special guests here. And they promised to him that he shall have a son. And then I don't know if Abraham heard Sarah laugh. It says she laughed within herself. Most likely not. But because it was so preposterous, he probably understood that Sarah might have laughed. So when they asked him about his wife, or when they announced that she had done that, he understood that. Say Sarah denied, and saying that she had not, she was afraid, but the Lord said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." All right, and then verse 16, "And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way, to escort them to their way there." And maybe he noticed that look towards Sodom, I don't know. And it says, the Lord said, and just picture this, these three persons and the Lord, we're not sure who was the spokesman and how they looked exactly of those three men, but the Lord, Yahweh, said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." We'll stop. Now, for many, many years, I read this verse, particularly verse 19, says, "Where he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." And it seemed to me that God was saying, I believe that Abraham will be, if I can use the term, be a super father or a super dad. And he's going to snap his fingers and the children are going to follow him. He's going to, by his persona, his character, he's just going to, and there's people like that have that influence. They exert that. And there's fathers and mothers that do that. In fact, all of them do to a certain degree and so forth. But that's the impression that I had. God's looking at Abraham and saying, I know he's going to do a good job as a dad. And possibly God knew that. But if we examine this wording here, it has more the idea that for I know him. I have known him so that he will command his children and his household after him. In other words, this is almost more of a commissioning. God is saying, I have known Abraham, and I have reached into Abraham's life because I need him to command his children to walk after him. Going back to history, we know that the story of Abraham's children wasn't all exactly perfect. There were bumps in the road. There were some of them that did not make it. But God used the faith and the character, and truly he did command his children to walk after him. But God was commissioning Abraham here to lead his children in the ways of truth and right. This morning, I want to challenge each one of you as parents. I believe that you are commissioned of God this morning. God has given you and fathers and mothers a commission. And he has chosen you and brought you into the family, yea, into the marriage situation that you are in. He has blessed you with children, and you are commissioned by the power of God and the authority of God to influence and to direct your children so that they would walk in his ways and in his paths. May God bless you in that. It's a great work. And we want to speak a little bit here at how can we do this? How shall we influence our children? How shall we teach our children? How shall we raise them? And it's a lifelong work. We know that. Much of it's done in the early years. We're aware of that as well. The Bible says elsewhere in Proverbs, I don't have the reference here, says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And there is a rendering that goes this way, that we know that children do have choices, and sometimes children have been brought up in the ways of God, and for whatever reason, maybe some imperfect parenting, but maybe some other influences bear in upon their lives, and they leave the ways of father and mother. But that verse, I believe, also suggests that it shall not depart from him. So what you teach, the impressions that you have and bear upon your children, they will burn an indelible impression on their lives that they can never shake. They can never truly and entirely shake. And you know, God forbid that any of our children would end up down in the streets of Vancouver or Toronto or wherever it may be as a drug addict and all the terrible things that go with that lifestyle. God forbid that. But one thing be assured, that we have endeavored by God's grace to instill godly values into those lives. It shall not depart from that person. And God may, if he is merciful, reach down and touch that life and bring him back to him who is to know. So what I would like to think of this morning is, I guess we'll use black here, as we think of establishing a foundation for character and for respect, I would like to bring it, do it this way. And so this is, we have three responsibilities. All right, and then I would like to suggest a number of virtues here that that will help us, and it won't be exhaustive, of course. There'll be many more that you could add to it, but the first one, of course, is and you know where I'm going to go with this one, I think. So what can we do in regards to these that will lay a foundation? We're talking about laying a foundation here. So our first one we're going to put up here is this one. Love. So important. And our love to God. We could turn to many passages. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And you know, here when we see the example of Abraham, when God was saying, I know him. I have known him. Abraham already. And shortly following this, in chapter 22, some years though, Abraham would demonstrate his extreme love for God. Almost, it would almost seem like it was opposed, at least to his child. When he takes Isaac up the mount there, and God says, you're to take him up the mountain there, and you're to offer him up a sacrifice. We can only imagine the torrential thoughts that went through Abraham as he was engaging in that work, and we're not going to elaborate on that. But Abraham's love was fixed over here on God, and that's bedrock number one for us as parents. Where is our love? Do we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind? Can our children see that? Is there evidence that we have love for Him? And it's so crucial that we have that love for the Lord. And at the bottom line, and again, this almost flies in the face of the thought of family life. We know there are Christians today, without a doubt, on the face of this earth, where father has to make the difficult decision. Am I going to follow God? And it might mean that I might be sentenced to years in prison. I might be separated from my children. How can I raise my family for the Lord if I'm gone? Difficult questions. But I've just recently read a book about a pastor in Russia. This is years gone by, that spent many years separated from his family, but through the work of God and through the work of his faithful wife, the children were all faithful and they were brought to faith as well. And God can intervene in those circumstances. But that will always be our first test. So let's as important, as in foundational as our relationship is to our spouse and our wife, or our spouse and our wife and husband, or to our children, our relationship to God is first of all, we must be thoroughly committed to that. Secondly, and we can go to Ephesians, well, let's go to Ephesians 6 there, just to have the verification of the scripture. What does the Bible say to us as husbands? Ephesians 5. Husbands, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I'm not going to elaborate at length on that this morning. We don't have the time, but you hear that sometimes in maybe some wedding sermons, how that might be fulfilled. But there it is for us as husbands. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. I think I could ask the older brethren here, do you have that all figured out? Are you learning new ways to do that? And I'm sure they would all agree that it's a lifelong process, and we grow into it. But it's our commitment that we would love our wives as Christ loved the church. And we're going to be moving to our children soon here, but one of the biggest favors that we can do for the children here is to show to them that we love our wives. And we love our husbands as well. The Bible talks about teaching younger women to love their husbands. But we know how it is there on, as men, we think we can maybe kind of run on that crust and not display love like we should. Our sisters are more in tune with those kind of things. Loving comes easier for them in a way. And so there's a reason that the scriptures speak directly to us as men, that we are to diligently pursue loving our wives. So either way, love for our spouse is essential. And then love for children. Almost seems like that shouldn't be necessary to say. And yet, in our society, some of those ideas are being challenged. And, you may have experienced it, I'm sure some of you as parents here, when you come in with your tow of 4, 5, 6 children, ages whatever they may be, and people, that's a big family. I'm always impressed with the statement that I've, and you may have heard this one before, but the mother that was in the shopping mall with her little troop, and a lady comes up behind her and says, or beside her and says, how can you divide your love between so many? And I think the Lord himself gave her words of wisdom. She said, it's not a matter of division, it's a matter of multiplication. And I like that so much. God can do that. And I know that you as parents love your children. You love each one. God's given them to a gift. They have different challenges, different needs. And yet they're a gift to you, and purpose in your heart that you will love them enough to give them time and to spend time with them and to show them that you truly care about them. And as fathers, again, that's a challenge. We love them. We know children have a place in our heart it's hard to describe, and yet we can get so busy in the functions of life that we mean to pay attention to our children, but we just don't get it done. And there's a story about this child that was trying to get her dad's ear, and finally something happened that he caught on. She or he was talking to him, and he says, "Oh, I'm sorry. I should have been listening to you. And the other times there, I apologize." And the child says, "Well, you could have at least said, 'Oh.'" And children don't ask for a lot, but they ask for something. And it's better if we give them more than just that. But let's love them enough to pay attention to them by God's grace. The second one I'd like to, and it's closely related, and yet it's different. Let's put this one down here. Now, maybe you think I'm following after, is it Dr. Emerson there? Love and respect. I don't intend to mean that. Maybe you have that book. But I think we just want to talk about the thought of respect. And I don't have a particular verse as we think of love and respect, although it does say we're in Ephesians 5. And it's again focusing to women, to our wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And that has the concept of respect. Back in verse 21, it talks about submitting yourselves one to another. So there's the idea of respect. And first of all, as we think of God, are we showing honor? Certainly we can say we love him. And there's many people that say, "I love the Lord." And yet when you examine their lives, you wonder where the respect is. I'm going to have another point that's going to come close to this, but I'm thinking more on the idea of how we relate to him and how we speak about God. Maybe as parents, do we speak about God in a respectful way? Are we inclined to speak lightly and maybe too easily get into some of those sacrilegious jokes where we make light of God? Let's be careful about that. I know that's something where I need to watch myself. We're familiar with the scriptures, and the next thing we're rolling off a verse of scripture as almost a humorous thing. Let's be careful, because we have little ears that are listening to us. And the way that we relate to the Word of God and the way that we speak about the Word of God can leave quite an impression. And yes, even the way we handle this book, while this is only a physical thing, I think if our children see that we don't have a pile of 10 or even one book on top of this, this book is always on top of the pile. Maybe that's being a little, I don't know, superstitious. I don't think it is. I think it's being respectful. Respectful to the Word of God. We take time. We show reverence to it. And may God help us in that. And we use it. We have times of worship. I'm not going to put worship down here for one of the points. Let's tie that in with respect, where they see that we have time for the Word of God in family worship and our personal worship, and we take time to get together for collective worship. Our children will take note of that. Respect to our spouse. Again, maybe the onus is a little more on this side when we think of the thought of respect, and yet it isn't. Because when we love as husbands, are we respecting our wives? The Bible says that in 1 Peter 3:7, I think it is, that we're supposed to dwell with our wives according to knowledge as the weaker vessel. And I think that speaks to me of respect. You know, we need to, you know, our wives are very capable, and sometimes we take advantage of that, and we think that they should be able to keep on doing that, and they should be able to bake whatever, 5 pies a week or whatever, and you know, we should be respectful and know whether they're running through a time of physical weakness and maybe even emotional weakness. where we say, no, you know, honey, you don't need to do that, or we can let them know. They may or may not listen to us, but usually they'll respect that. And so let's be respectful there. And then over here, as you think of your husband, thinking about love there as well, you think about your husband, you've been married to him 10 years, by now you know a few of his flaws and maybe quite a few. That is true. And maybe there's some areas where he needs some major help. But remember that you will do your family, your children, your husband, and ultimately yourself the greatest favor, could we say, and the greatest blessing is where you can continue to relate to your imperfect husband in a respectful way. God will bless you for that, and you will reap the benefits from it, and your children will see that, and they will respect you for that as well, as they see the respect that you gender to your husband. Let's by God's grace, have it both ways. And then as we think of parents, yes, we need to teach our children respect. That's one aspect. I don't want to minimize that. That's important. But I think as parents, we also need to be faithful and careful to show our children respect. And I know that's maybe blown up in our society, maybe unduly. But either way, we need to remember our children are individuals. And we care about their feelings. We care about, as fathers, we can maybe brush over their feelings more than we should. We can maybe get too taken up by them and not do what we should either as well. But in our minds, we should consider, we do not unduly embarrass our children. We may think, well, they're children, it doesn't matter, it's my fatherly duty to straighten things out here in the open and in the public, and sometimes it is. But if it's possible to do it in a respectful way to our children, they will honor that. How many of you maybe can relate to an authority figure that maybe there was something out of turn in your life, and they, in a very calm way, in a respectful way, corrected that, maybe by word or whatever, and kept it objective, where they focused on the issue at hand and not belittling your character, your being, and you were blessed by that. May the Lord give us wisdom. You know, fathers, we and mothers, we get busy and stress is upon us, and we need to deal with this, and all of a sudden the actions are quicker and the squeeze is harder than it should be and the words are sharper than they should be. And God knows, and God forgives, and God... We're not talking about perfect parenting here. But may God give us grace to temper that by his grace, to respect him in his own way. Next one I'd like to hold out, and it's kind of related to the respect, but it's a different, and that's this one. And we could go to scripture after scripture that would instruct us that we need to be obedient to the word of the Lord. And we go back to Abraham. How did God know that Abraham was going to be command his children? Or how did he know that he could commission this work to him? Because of Abraham's track record before already. He had left the land of Ur. And the children tonight are going to tell us how far he had to travel to do this, I trust. And he had left us behind. And God knew that he was committed to following him. And so, as parents, we cannot expect God's blessing on our homes and our lives if we are not committed to following God and doing it God's way, doing his will, seeking his direction. That's, again, paramount. Our children should understand and know that the dad has principles, and this is something that he does not do, and he will not do that. There's a principle that he follows, and mom as well, of course. But those are benchmarks. How many of you's don't do things because, you know, this was something you were taught in your home, whether by father or by mother. They influence us, they impact us. And so let's show to our children that we are our desire to be obedient to God. And now as we think of obedience, I would maybe leave that one a little soft on the spouse side, and yet it ties in with the idea of respect. We do want to do it God's way, and that's maybe where the obedience part comes in. We as his children, whether husband or wife, we want to do it God's way. And God says we're to love our wife as Christ loved the church, and sometimes our carnality would maybe push us the other direction. And we make a conscious choice, not because we feel like it, but because we know it's the proper thing. And we do that, and almost invariably you will be rewarded for that. You know that. You probably experienced that. And again, back to the idea of respect and obedience, you know, there may be something that your husband, a decision, and hopefully he's consulted with you, that maybe comes back to respect again. But ultimately, you want to understand God's order of headship, and you want him to be the leader, and for him to be the leader, you will have to respect his choices and do them. God bless you as you do that. You will be rewarded. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is what the scripture says. We do our children a tremendous, tremendous favor by teaching them compliance and obedience. And it flies in the face of where modern society has at least went, and I think some people are already beginning to recognize the havoc and the payback for not harnessing, not directing, not teaching our children that N-O means N-O. N-O means no. That's, you know, and I realize that I think this is a fair thing to say. I'm not defending homes where the aspect of love and respect are missing. But if a child has learned obedience, despite the lack of some of that, they're still at, I would say, a large advantage versus the child that has not had any boundaries. And in so-called loving home, we could question how loving it actually is at the root of it, where they have not learned boundaries. We must follow God's directive as parents to teach our children obedience. Teach them and teach them beyond just partial obedience. Teach them beyond grudging obedience. And you may already be asking me, well, how do you do all of that? That may be a sermon in itself. But God can give you wisdom as parents. And if some of the other bedrocks are in place, we're going to have a lot more success with that. And, you know, somewhere along the line, I want to make this point here, and I think I'll do it now. As parents, we might not get it all right always with how we relate to our children in a respectful way and so forth. And so then we might step back from obedience. Or maybe there's failure in our life, and they know it too. If there's love, children will forgive. And if we move ahead and still continue to insist on obedience, God will bless you in that. And children, you know that verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So this is something that you can do for your home. Did you know that you make your home a much better place when you do what daddy and mommy ask you to do? You kind of know that. But I'm just going to tell you, just so you don't forget. You know, do you think that daddy and mama really enjoy when you grumble and complain about what they're asking you to do? Do you think they just get very excited about that? You know the answer. They don't. So you can help your home out by being willing followers of whatever your parents ask you to. God will bless you, and you're happier when you do it. I know that. And you just keep on doing that. Service. I will write that down. I have to hasten on.
Service to God, of course, very important. And,
you know, what is the balance? And we want to serve God with all our heart, soul, and mind. We do that. Well, let's remember that as parents, going back to Abraham's calling, we shouldn't forget that if we have, God has led us to marriage, then service begins at home. I'm getting ahead of myself. But serving the cause of God, but against that, I think the, you know, homes that are serving a cause that are greater than themselves are the ones that God can bless. I appreciate the emphasis on good homes. We need it so much. But if our emphasis on good homes is only for the sake of having good homes, I think it's going to fall flat. The reason that we want to have good homes, Christian homes, is because we have a cause that is greater than ourselves, than our homes. And as parents, we want our children to join that cause. And so are we serving God as we should? May God help us. You know, it service. Well, husband and wives, where do we start? Where do we stop? You know, our dear wives, sisters here, God has given them as a whole the spirit of service. It's in their, they're wired that way, and God bless you for that. Husbands, man, we mean to be that way, but we don't always get it done, do we? And may we grow in the attitude of service, and help our wives along, and may we instill that in our children, that we're here to serve others. And as they see fathers, they see mothers willing to serve each other, it's a real blessing. And furthermore, moving to the children, do they see a willingness in our part to serve them? And I know there's a balance. We as parents, we're busy. We have our things that we need to get done. And we don't have to always be dropping everything and chasing after our children and doing whatever they want us to do whenever they, you know, when they tap Daddy on the knee, say, Daddy, can we do this? That every time we just leave it and go and do what they want us to do. But on the other side, have our children seen us willing to drop what we thought needed to be done to go and serve their needs? May they see that. May they see that in my life. May they see that in my life even as a grandfather and with my older children and older sons, that I'm willing to stop whatever I'm doing and go out to be there for them. You know, I've been rudely reminded by this by a friend of mine that was essentially my same age and passed away just very recently, relatives to some in the audience here. And I must admit, it brought me up a little short. I won't always have time. I may not have time to connect to my sons. My sons, they're busy, and they're engaged in their different things that they're doing. And we appreciate the relationships that we have. But I, as a father, have a responsibility to connect with them. And in spite of all of that, I'm getting away from service, aren't I? But let's be ready to serve them and reach out to them. And finally, I'm going to close with one more point here. And there's so much more that could be said, but I think this is so important as well. Consistency. It's so important. You know, as we think of our following God and being consistent in walking with God and being consistent in our relationship with God, we do our family so much good by seeing that there's Dad, there's Mom. I can count on them. I know that when the dad will respond in a Christian way in this situation. And you know, isn't it true that, you know, we can leave a reasonably good front when we're with others, when we're at church or wherever it may be. But that little fellow that's walking beside us here, they can pick things up pretty quickly. And they will know where we're at by some of our responses and what we do, and what we do when we think nobody else is looking but just Sonny. And maybe worse than that when he's not around either, but that's a different subject. We're not going there. We're talking about influencing our children. Let's be consistent. Let's live in a way that we live in the knowledge of God looking upon our lives. And so we want to order and conduct our lives in such a way before Him. You know, we're not being consistent just to raise good families. We're being consistent because we have a Heavenly Father. We have a God that we're accountable to, and we need to order our lives in that way, and then our children and our spouse will take notice of that. And you know, as we think of consistency in our relationship to each other, we're human, and I don't want anybody to go away from this place thinking that in a marital relationship that we're all supposed to be steady go and nobody has deep issues, disappointments, anger, I was going to say anxiety. We do that. We share. We can share those feelings with each other. We can help each other. But on the other side, God does call us to be consistent in our emotional responses. And by God's grace, we can temper them. Depending on what our natural temperaments are, we might be more challenged in one area than the other area. But by God's grace, we can let the Spirit of God temper that. And it can influence our relationship with each other. And so that we will express godly graces to each other, even if we have to be honest and frank with each other. May we be consistent. And then, of course, consistency with our children. We talked about that. We inferred to that in speaking about how we relate to God. But let's be consistent. And maybe I'll focus on this point in our discipline program, in our instruction program. Discipline isn't just about correcting. It's a broader than that. But God help us that what we say today will be the same for next week and the next and the next. And I realize that sometimes we need to adjust. But when children discover that if they can manipulate or they can wait a week or a week and a half and what daddy says might change or mama, and they learn to play the game that way, again, we're not doing them any favor. And may we choose to have levels or expectations of action and obedience that are reasonable, that are something that they can do, and then stay with that. And we don't do things out of emotion. We shouldn't, I should say. We do sometimes. But we shouldn't, by God's grace, do things out of emotion and say, we're not going to allow that anymore. And without putting thought into it, maybe if we feel like saying that as fathers, we need to take a few more moments to think, to pray about it. There might be a time for that. I'm not saying never, but usually that's a bit of a pitfall and a trap. And may God help us to have family guidelines and rules that will be consistent. Our children know what they are, and they can live with them. They can accept them, and God will bless us for that. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 18 in closing again. There's so much more that could have been said. This is just an introduction. God bless you as parents. I do not want this message to discourage any parents this morning. The challenge is always there. And you keep up the fight. Keep up the work. Purpose in your heart. If God has touched you in any area of your life as a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, young person, children, that you would move forth from here and desire to serve Him. But as parents, let's read verse 19 again. And we're going to read it together, but I want you again to think of what it seems. I've done a bit of research, and it seems most interpreters agree that this is what the Lord was endeavoring to say, for I have known him, or I have acknowledged him, or chosen him, so that he will command his children. Think about that as we read this together. Shall we read it together? Verse 19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. May God bless you. Let's come before the Lord in kneeling prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you have given to us. And Father, this morning, we especially want to pause and thank you for your divine plan and institution, the institution of the home. Lord, we thank you for the love of Jesus Christ and how he came to this earth and how he demonstrated to us as men, as husbands, how we should love love our wives. And also how he has demonstrated through the church, how the church is to be submissive to Christ. And gives us instruction in the New Testament how we should order the child. Lord, we thank you for our children. We thank you for their potential. We thank you for the souls that they are. We acknowledge that they are eternal souls. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with each home and each family that's represented here this morning. And where there is struggle and difficulty, Lord, I pray that you would move upon whatever is necessary. People would make things right. Take courage and move forward from here. We know, Lord, that your grace is sufficient and your grace can change lives. Lord, we pray that you would bless any of the young parents that are wondering how they shall order the child. Give them wisdom and direction. Pray for middle-aged parents that are possibly facing the years of working with teenage children. Give them grace and strength and help them not to lose heart or lose courage. Pray for the grandparents here. We pray, Lord, that you would help us also to be the influence that we should be upon our children and our grandchildren so that they could continue on in this good work. Pray for our dear young people here, ones that have life before them and they're at the point where they need to make choices. They will be making choices. Lord, we pray that you'd give them godly wisdom and spiritual discernment in their life choices. And again, we pray, Lord, for our dear children. Just bless each one. Thank you for the gifts that they are. We pray now, Lord, that you would bless and direct us throughout this day. Thank you for all that you've given to us and the gift of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.